Okay, Rabbi, so let's begin. We're up to Peruch Chav Dalet. We are towards the end.
It's like a Friday schedule.
Okay, we're up to Pasuk Chav. Pasuk Chav says, Yishkochei rechem misokei rima, oi lo yizocher bat yishaver ko eitzav. What does this Pasuk refer to? So there are many interpretations. Let's start with the interpretation of the Mitzudos David. Pasuk Chaf inside, Yishkocheyu me'at yechle v'moso yishkochei rechem imo. So rechem, there are many keywords we have to define. The word rechem refers to his mother, the womb of his mother, his source, where he has come from. Yishkocheyu means he's quickly forgotten. Now, why does it mean he's quickly forgotten? So I don't have clarity in what this means in the Mitzudos, but it means that he does not suffer very much. It seems to say, this is an idea I don't really fully understand.
A woman gets up, she gives birth, but if she remembers all the pain she had, she wouldn't want to
have. That's what it means, okay. Something along the lines, a person who suffers a lot, but the Mitzudos says this, he says this a few times, next coming psukim, a person that suffers a lot in this world leaves over a zecher, is remembered. A person that dies suddenly is not remembered. Now why is that so? I don't know, but that's what it says. Someone that suffers for a prolonged period of time is remembered. A person that dies in a moment is not remembered in this world. Somehow the suffering towards the end of the person's life causes him to be remembered. This is what it says. Now, what is the meaning? This goes back to the theme that we mentioned in the previous psukim. The theme that we mentioned in the previous psukim expressed that Eev is frustrated. He doesn't understand why is it that the Rishahim have an easy death, that Tzaddikim have a tortured, prolonged death, whereas the Rishoyim die in a moment without any struggle. And this Eev complains is not fair. It doesn't make any sense why the Rishoyim not only should have a wonderful life, a long life with success and wealth and honor, but even in death they quickly depart, they leave the scene, and they do not have to suffer like the Tzaddikim. But Eev is not dealing with Eev. Okay, that requires a lot of emuna. That's obviously has to be the answer. But Eev over here, at least from his perspective, is frustrated why that is so. And the way he expresses that is here in this pasuk by continuing in this theme, according at least to the Mitzudos, that Yishkocheyu rechem, that he forgets the womb. Now, those two words are very vague. Those two words don't really say very much. The Mitzudos is an enormous amount of commentary into these two words. Recha means the womb of his mother, and we'll see other interpretations in a few moments, but it means the womb of his mother, and he is forgotten by the womb of his mother, and it's a metaphor to express the idea that he dies without any illness and quickly disappears. Let's see inside again. Yishkocheyu ma'at yechele, he suffers very little. Uvimoso, and with his death, Yishkocheyu rechemimo, he's forgotten by the womb of his mother. Ratzulaymar, af achar asher noilad, after he is born, berachma, af achar asher noilad berachma, tishkach bo, he is forgotten by it. He is forgotten by the womb. What do you mean he's forgotten by the womb? Hoil since sumat chala, since he only, the illness was very, very short, v'lo hirbasa levakro. Now, I don't know what that means. He did not visit. Since before his death, he was ill for a short period of time, v'lo hirbasa levakro, and he did not increase to seek out, I don't know what exactly it means. To seek out him. Okay, fine. That's what it means. Thank you. And therefore, they have very few memories. So he seems to be saying it's very interesting ideas that if a person is sick for a long period of time, and people come continuously to visit the person, that somehow enhances the memory of the person after death. Is that really true? I guess it is. If he's saying it is, but it's not a. Why don't you just visit the... What?
It's Lashon Nekeva, no? Eloi Hirbasa is Lashon Nekeva.
I don't think it's here levakro. People did not. We're not accustomed. I don't think. What? Ma'ad nisha bezichroina in. Yeah, I'm not sure. Lo hir b'salavakra. So what? Yeah. Okay. Right. Okay. I don't know exactly. Something along those lines. Right. Persons. Okay, exact translation I don't have, but something along the lines that a person that dies very swiftly does not leave over in this world a significant remembrance, significant zecher, and that he's saying here is to his advantage. This is what it's very bizarre what the Metzudas is saying. This appears to be to the advantage of the Rasha. He's moichel. He's willing to forego the fact that people are not going to remember him because at least he will not have to suffer very long. Okay, that's all I know from this Metzudas. Now the next words of the Metzudas are Misako Rima. Now Rima means worms, and Misako means it's sweet. And this means that since the person died suddenly and he was robust, he was overweight, he was 50 pounds overweight, it's a feast for the worms in the grave. If a person, Rachman Litzlan, has a long, prolonged illness, by the time he dies, he looks like a skeleton. Okay, the doctors, they put him on a diet, they put him on all these tubes, all these this modern medicine, and he loses a lot of weight, and then when he enters the grave, there's not much left for the worms to feast on. But a person that dies a sudden death after overeating his whole life leaves over a large meal for the worms. Let's see what it says in the Mesudas. Misako Rima. Masakul Fia Rima is sweet for the worms. Kimishamin Bistro Lo Yerazah. Due to the fat of his flesh, Lo Yerazah, they are not hungry. They did not go hungry. Kiyam was Bari Vishamin, because the person he dies in a state of barbing fat, of healthy Vishamin. The Yumtak Bisar Lirima, and his Basar is sweet for the worms. Okay, then the pasuk includes lo yizah, lo yizacher. Next words, masaka rima, od lo yizacher. This person is no longer remembered. Next words of the mitzudos, lo yeh niska b'fi abrios l'zman meruba. He's not going to be remembered for a long period of time. Ki hoyl lo yisavol nichav halchayli. He says this numerous times. Again, I don't really understand why this is true, since he did not suffer, he did not bear the nichav halchayli illness. There's nothing to remember, to talk about. Now, it's very strange because and a healthy person is nothing to talk about. A healthy person, a person is a successful person. A person that's a successful person, you remember the good times. Okay, there are people, definitely people that you don't know about, you never hear about, the Nechbab and Akelim. And then when they get sick, okay, so then Rachman Litzlan, people have to deal with them, they have to go and they first get to know them. But a person that's really popular and successful, people know him, they remember him in the good times, not in the bad times. But here he's focusing on the bad times for some reason, and being that this person dies suddenly, that period of time where people get to know him in his illness does not exist, and that's what it says here. He's not remembered. He's not. Okay, next words of the pasuk about Hishaver Ke'etz Avla. He's broken like a piece of wood. Avla, according to the Mesudas, means is the person. Avla means a corrupt man. This corrupt man ultimately is shattered like a piece of wood. A piece of wood that, as an axe is taken to a tree, is cut up into splinters, into teeny little pieces. It's likewise, a person who is an Ish Avla is broken to pieces, ultimately the day of reckoning, like a broken piece of wood. Mitzudos, Vatishaver Ke'etz Avlo, Ish Avla. This man who is wicked, Nishbar, is broken, Bekalusra, very easily. His end is very swift. Kishviras Oetz, like a piece of wood, a broken piece of wood, Asher Tamar Lishaver, like a broken piece of wood which quickly breaks, Mina Barzel, when it is attacked, it is cut down by a piece of iron, Uchedoimer, Asher Yibul Hisakim, Haina Vehema Tem Lishaver. Now, I'm not exactly sure how this ties in the beginning of his interpretation, which is when a piece of wood is being broken, is being attacked by Barzel, so it bends. It bends this way, bends that way, until ultimately it is completely severed and shattered into splinters. Likewise, this wicked person, to his advantage, it seems, the Pasuk seems to be saying, according to the Mesudas, that he's cut down very quickly. He does not have to go through the process, the long, prolonged process of illness until he dies. So let's review the pasuk one more time, and then I'll tell you what Rav Schwab says. We'll do Rashi first, and tell you Rav Schwab's interpretation. Yishkache. So according to this interpretation, we have to break up the pasuk into many different breaking points. Yishkacheyu rechem. Period. He is forgotten by the womb. The womb means by his mother's womb, and that's a metaphor. Just the fact that this person has come out of his mother's womb, it's forgotten from mankind. Why? We have to add an interpretation. Because he dies very quickly. He does not go through a state of illness where people would come to visit and inquire after his welfare. People do not get to know him. He just disappears from the face of the earth. Next, Misaka Rima. He dies swiftly, and he dies in good health, so he's robust. And that leaves for the grave, for the worms, the rima, a sweetness. They have much what to eat. Od lo yizacher, he's no longer remembered, because in repetition of the same idea, he died very quickly. Vatishaver, he departs from this world very quickly. Ko'et, like a piece of wood that is splintered into little teeny parts due to a barzel, iron, which cuts it down. Avla, this man who is a wicked person. Okay, obviously, there's a lot of interpretation that has been added to make sense of this pasuk according to the Mitzudos David. That was a good Rashi. Rashi pasukov yishkacheyu rechem imo. He's forgotten by the womb of his mother. Okay, so far Rashi said the same thing as the Mitzudos, at least from that one word. However, here Rashi quotes a medrash, Darash, Rabbi Tanchum, show you Dor Hamabul Doitlim es Benehem, Benoistim Oisam Tachteim Listim Arubosatahom. We're describing over here the sins of the Dor Hamabul. Dor Hamabul, we know that Hashem opened up the windows of heaven, the Arubos Hashamayim, or the Arubosatahom, the windows of the depth, in order to cause the waters to flood the world. So when this happened, people they realized they were in trouble, so they tried to close, to seal these openings in the earth. So what would we do with Zman Hazeh? Remember a couple of years ago when in the BP, when they opened up in the ocean, where it was in the Gulf of Mexico, they opened up a flood of oil, and they were sending down ships to pump it with concrete to close up the Arubas HaTohim. Now, the Arubas, the depths, there was oil. It wasn't water. But it's the same idea. During the time of the Mabul, there was some type of crater in the earth that was the source of the flood. And they desperately needed to seal it. So what did they throw at it? Everything they can possibly... So here it's something very bizarre. We don't understand this. Obviously, there's a lot more depth to this. They took their children to stuff up these openings in the ground in order the world should not be flooded. That was part of their sin. Now, there must be something a lot more to this, but that's at least what it says. Even the mother would not have compassion upon their own child. So they differ. According to the Medrash, Yishkochei Rechem means the mother's womb. Who is the one? The mother's womb, the mother who gave birth to this baby, forgot about the fruit of her womb and took this baby and put the baby in the earth in order to seal the window of the earth. Now, next is Misaka Rima, Lamus, same thing as Mitzudos, that it's sweet for the worms. When this person dies, lamus, he dies, v'lechol rima, b'sam, the worms eat their flesh. Od lo yizacher, they will no longer be remembered. B'shana achas neku, the dor hamabul was destroyed in 1 year. and the entire generation will no longer be remembered. The al archa shnitin lohem mitchila, and that's the question there is, why then, what's exactly if complaining about? For the length, for the fact that these people lived extremely long lives, even though it's true they died suddenly, the wicked people were ultimately, they were destroyed, but Eov complains that it's not fair. It's not fair that they died in a moment, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but in the meantime, until they died, they lived long, peaceful lives. The al arka shnit, the length of days shnit lohem mitchila, hay Eov kaibel, Eov complained, Shaharbe may, so many died, v'loy rahu b'puranu seh, and did not have to witness the churban of the world. It's not fair they should die an easy death and not witness the churban that came upon the world. That's what his complaint is all about. The Rav Schwab has another interpretation, and he says, Yishkocheyu rechem, if this is a continuation of describing the evil ways of the Rishoyim. The Rishoyim, the previous Pesukim, we'll go back to Pasuk Tezayin, they tunnel in the middle of the night into their friend's home. They give them spices so they can figure out where their vaults are. They in the morning, they hide. Then Pasuk Yidches says, here's where we go. Pasuk Yidches, we mentioned, is Kalhu al Pnei Mayim. Now, Pasuk in one interpretation we learned yesterday is they escape. After a Rasha is caught, he has the skill to escape very swiftly. He runs away, he swims away, kalu pneimayim, to kulal chelkosam ba'aretz, and they're able to, they run on a portion of land that's not been paved. Lo yifne derechem, they don't travel by the vineyards, they take roads, back roads, and to easily escape from the authorities. Then Pasuk Yutes said, Tzia gam choym yigzulu, meme shaleg, sh'ochot. Okay, so there we had different interpretation of what that means yesterday. Pasuk Chaf goes back to Pasuk Yitches, where it explains that when they escape, they betray their family. They betray their wife and their daughters and other people that rely upon them. The word rechem is a placeholder, a code for a woman, and really refers to a wife. Okay, I don't have the psukim in front of me, but he quotes psukim in Tanakh, where the word rechem means a womb. Which human being has a womb? A woman. So here it refers to his wife. When this ganof is discovered and he has to flee for his life, he doesn't even bother to give his wife a get. He lets his wife Lee be an aguna for the rest of his life, for the rest of her life. Yishkocheyu rechem. This evil man, this evil Rasha, he forgets about his wife. The word rechem is just a word that means a woman. Misoko rima. Rima, in this interpretation, does not mean worms, it means deceit. His deceit is sweet. He's extremely evil in his betrayal. It's almost as if he takes pleasure in the betraying and deceiving people. I'm sorry. Misako means the people in his life who are sweet. The people in his life who have been sweet to him and have been sweet to him. In other words, his wife. His wife, like people call their wife honey, right? Was the other way around? Who calls the one honey? They both call each other honey?
Okay.
But over here it seems to be saying his wife, that is his sweetness, Rima, he deceives. He cares more about himself now that he has been discovered that it's a ganef, he's a rasha, and people are chasing after him. He doesn't care, he runs away and he leaves everyone hanging. So that has been sweet to him, Rima, he deceives. Od lo yizocher, he doesn't care, he's no longer remembered. He doesn't remember anyone in his family. Vatishaver ko'etz, and he shatters like a piece of wood, avla. Avla, in this interpretation, Rav Schwab says it means young girl. It means his daughters. He has young daughters to marry off. And when he skips town, who's going to take care of them? No one. So they are betrayed. They have been betrayed and they suffer the rest of their lives because of their father who could abandon them on a short notice.
How does Avshalom get the word young girl from the word Avla?
I don't have it in front of me. Avshalom, he says Avla means an Ula. Avla is related to an Elam. An Elam means with a Mem. Aleph Lamed Mem means a young man. A youth. A youth. And in the context with a hey at the end, I guess it's feminine, it means a young girl. If not mistaken, he also says that Misako means his mistress. It's a very strange thing over here. It means there are three different women that are shops, that's what he says. There are three different women that the pasuk is addressing. His wife, right? His mistress, which is very bizarre. How can you say such a thing about a person? I guess he's a Rasha, so that's the nature. And the mistress, what he calls the Pilagesh. It could be ancient times was acceptable to have a Pilagesh. People had wives, and then they had wives with a ksuba, with responsibility, and then they just had a woman that they lived with that there was no responsibility. That's here what he says is Miss Soko, the one that is sweet to him. But to a certain degree, there is some type of relationship where she expects the least he should say goodbye. Right, he should say goodbye to her before he disappears. He gets a new passport. He takes on a new identity to escape the authorities. And the Avla are the young girls, his young daughters. So we're discussing in this pasuk three groups of women. His wives, his wife, which is called the Rechem, the one that has brought forth children for him. The Misako, the women that he has a relationship with that's not through marriage, and the Avla are the young girls. All of these three rely upon him to some degree, and now when he is discovered that he is a ganav, he is a noyef, he is in trouble in society and he has to escape, he couldn't care less about them. He cares about himself, he runs away, and he forgets about them. Look at all the words. There's yishkocheu, shikha, and then there is rima, deceit, and is yizocher, he doesn't remember, and vatishaver, and he actually crushes. Four different expressions of betraying and forgetting about people to whom he has a degree of responsibility. Okay, now we go to Pasuk Chof Aleph. Roye akarolo selet. Now, what does it mean, Roye? Roye, in the simple interpretation of the Tzitzit, means evil. Lashon of Ra. He's evil. He's an evil man. Who is an evil man? To an akara lo selet. At the time of Chazal, the Gemara talks about a woman in ancient times desperately want to get married because she needs someone to help her in her old age. Okay, even today, but certainly today it's not as bad. Today, Baruch Hashem, we have social services where, to some degree, the government looks out after people that are elderly. But in ancient times, a person did not have a child, especially a woman who was completely dependent upon a man. Society was a man's society. She was in a lot of trouble. So a woman who is a nakara, who did not have any children, is extremely vulnerable. She is the most vulnerable of all because she doesn't have a child to come and help her to care for her in her old age. This wicked man takes advantage of such a woman. He is roye'eh. He is evil to the woman who is an akara. And the pasuk, just for poetic purposes, elaborates what is an akara. An akara is a woman who is lo selet, who has not given birth. The almana lo yeyetiv, and a woman who is a widow. A widow is also vulnerable. This evil man does not seek out her welfare, but in fact, lo yeyetiv means, it really refers to that he causes her harm. He takes full advantage of these two vulnerable individuals. Let's look at Pasuk Chof Aleph in the Mitzudos. Ro e akara im ki hirba lehashia ad ki hoye merat, says that this person continues to act in an evil way, ad to the point ki hoye merat, says his akara, he actually shatters the akara. I mean, he takes the akara and he betrays her. He takes advantage. He takes advantage of her vulnerable state, im kilo yolado, despite the fact that she does not have children to support her. Like, this is just a poetic repetition of the same idea. She does not have someone to support her. Furthermore, the almana, the widow, he is yiratzeitz, he crushes. Ad ki ein la mi yetiv la, there's no one that does good on her behalf. V'nafsha moro la me'od, and the neshama, the soul of this almana, is very bitter. Im kol zed, despite the fact that she is in such a vulnerable state, lechama lech, he does not have compassion upon her. V'yim kein me'aroy shikabel gemulo. So here we have the mitzvah coming in some interpretation of this pasuk. Here is where we are. Eov is hinting that it's not fair that this evil man who has committed all of the horrible crimes that are mentioned in this parak deserves punishment, deserves severe punishment, but obviously he's not punished. He lives a very long, healthy, prosperous life. Okay, now this is the interpretation of the mitzvah. Let's look at Rashi. Rashi here is something very fascinating. According to Rashi, the first thing we have to take note is the word roya does not necessarily mean evil. The word roya means to shepherd. It means to fatten, to provide sustenance, to provide good. Roya akarolo selate, the almana lo yetiv Rashi, roya akarolo selate, kachoy min hagam, this was the custom of people in the time of the Dar Hamavol. They were evil people. What did they do? They were married two wives. Achas the tashmish. One they would marry for pleasure, nothing more than pleasure. The achas the one, and one wife for children. Zo shomedes the tashmish. The wife they married for pleasure. Mashke kois ikrin. They would give her to drink a certain potion to cause her to become sterile, not to have children, because by becoming pregnant would take away from their beauty. Kidei shaloi teleit oilamis, they should never become pregnant. Umachila tafnukim, and he would feed her delicacies. Umarchitza, and would bathe her. Umekashta, give her jewelry. Kidei shadehei noha, that she should remain beautiful. And he would keep this wife just
trophy wife.
A trophy wife. The Zohar Medes Lebanim, the one that would be set aside to produce children, Malbish Shabig the Almonas, he would dress her in the poorest clothing, ugly clothing, like a widow. Umariva, he would starve her, period. The Zehu Shoimer Hoakara, that's exactly what it means in it. That's this idea that this, the conduct of people, the wicked people, Dar Hamabul, is hinted to in this pasuk, where it says, Hoakara Shloi Teleit, Hoye Roye. According to this medrash, the word roya does not mean evil, as we learn in the mitzvahs. It means to feed, to pasture, to shepherd. He would feed the akara, the woman that is akara lo selet. Why is she akara? Because he has given her poison in order to prevent her from becoming pregnant, in order not to take away from her beauty. The woman that he would treat like an almana, he would not give benefits. So the almana is the woman that he would dress in bigly almonos. He would dress in poor woman's clothing because he could not care less about her. She was not for pleasure, she was just for children. So she would call in the almana, the widow, to her lo yiyetiv, he would not provide her with any delicacy, he would starve her to death. So this pasuk alludes to the evil conduct of the people of the Dar Hamabel. They were purely overtaken by their pleasures. There was a corrupt society. It was just for their own personal pleasure, and what they needed for their sustenance for the next generation, they was just done in the most minimal way to take the advantage of these people. Now let me read you a medrash. The medrash is exactly the same thing, but he elaborates, gives this quite some more psukim and gives more examples. Okay, I'm reading over here. What you, I know you don't have here. This is a medrash b'reish Rabba. Amar Rabbi Zaria b'shem Rabbi Yehuda Babar Simon. Kach hoy anshei dor hamabal oisim. Hoy echad mehem lokech loy shtei noshim. Same thing as what Rashi says. People would might take two wives. Achas lefli urviya, one for having children. V'achas the tashmish. Zosh hoy selepri urviya hoy so yeshemes ki'ilu almana b'chaya. He would treat her as if she was a living widow. Like we gave her some type of a poison. The wand would be beautified like a zona. That's who he would live with. Now he cites another pasuk, not the pasuk that we've cited here in Eiv, but a pasuk in the Torah, pasuk that we're probably more familiar with. First he quotes the pasuk in Yeshayim, in pasuk in Eiv. Roye akara lo seleit. He would pasture the akara lo seleit. The almana lo yiyetiv. Te dalcha shekain sharei. Proved you. Who is the best, one of the best people, example of this generation, Lamech? The Lokach Beis Noshim. It says about Lamech, he took two wives. Vayikach leLamech shtei Noshim, two wives. Pasuk in Bereishis. Shem Ho'achas Odo. Odo means Adinos, a delicacy. What does it mean? The Oda Minei? I'm sorry, the other way around. The Oda in this context means, the Oda means denial. Okay, the Oda Minei. She was denied from him. Okay, this is how the Medrash learns. Oda, the first one was called Oda. The reason why she was called Oda was because the word Oda means denial. Shechasra. She was denied from him. He did not support her. He let her fend for herself. He did not feed her. He did not provide for her clothing. Because she was a wife that was set aside for nothing more than having children. So, as long as she's pregnant, as long as she gets the job done, that's all I care about her, nothing more than that. V'shem ha-shenis, what was the second wife's name? Tzila. What does Tzila? Tzila means shade. Why was she called shade? Shehoisa yesheves b'tzilo, she sat in his shade. In other words, she always, wherever he went, she went. She was a trophy wife. She accompanied him. So we see this, even this idea that is here presented in this Pasuk of Aleph, is also expressed in Bereishis with regard to the two wives of Lamech, Oda, and Tzila. What? One of his wives killed him? It says that somewhere? I'm not familiar. Could be.
It says they both abstained from him because he killed somebody. So they both abstained.
He killed Kain.
Lemach killed Kain in revenge for Kain killing Hevel. And therefore, so they stayed away from him. They were afraid of him. He was a murderer.
So he was asking them to come back.
Aha. Uh-huh. He asked them to come back. Okay. Okay. Okay, but here's another insight into why he had these two wives, this Sanhaga, which obviously Eov is expressing is an extremely evil thing. It shows the person, I'm sure marriage counselors can take this, people who give advice, there are so many books, every other day you read a book, you see on the news, you see in the bookshelf a new book about advice, marriage, shalom bayis. I mean, I heard recently someone, there was a meeting in... So Mechanchem in, I don't know where it was, Lakewood, all of the Mechanchem were urged to come to this meeting. That's what I was told. And one of the topics was that this year in the community of B'nai Torah in Lakewood and in Flatbush, Far Rockaway, in Muncie, among our community, there were 60 divorces. 60 divorces of young, of people, you know, in their 20s and 30s. So the whole point was, there's something really wrong. If there are 60 divorces, the system really stinks. There's something fundamentally wrong across the board. And whatever, I'm sure you can jump to all the conclusions of what exactly is wrong. What? What?
What happened? So what was
the go-to man? Nothing. People should... Well, what are they going to say? What are they going to say? So what's wrong? So you on your own, you can say Parnasa, Nidos, the value system, the dating system. I mean, you on your own, you can figure out. You can go give a long laundry list of every possible chasaron. But this pasuk definitely is a very interesting pasuk where it shows the selfish nature of a husband. That a husband, he has two wives. One wife is just pleasure, trophy wife, and his second wife is the wife that's going to produce for him children, it's going to be his legacy, I have no responsibility to you. I couldn't care less about you. You suffer it out. So you see over here, this pasuk expresses that this is represents the epitome of corruption in a man's relationship with his wife. It's obviously rooted here in Eif. Pasuk Chav Beis Umoshach. What?
The line of Christ is very gracious. His wife separated from him.
Because he killed Cain. Okay. She was afraid for his life. She was afraid for her life. He's a violent man. He's a violent man. So she separated. Okay. A kanoi. A kanoi. He took the law in his own hands. Cain killed Hevel. He was deserving of death. I don't know. What happened? What does it say?
He found out that he killed Cain, so he was very upset. He clapped his hands together, but he killed him. In clapping his hands, he killed his son.
I said it again. I don't understand.
He was. Lemach found out that he killed Cain. Shot an arrow.
Yeah.
He killed Cain.
Yeah.
He was shooting an animal. Then his son told him, "Hey, he just killed Cain." And he was so upset that he clapped his hands together. His child was in the middle, and he killed his child while he clapped.
Lemech's own child.
Right.
His wife was separated because he killed her child. He killed their baby. So she okay. That's a different story. Okay, so it was an accident. He killed Cain by mistake. That it was an animal. Okay, I'm not familiar with those midrashim. Let's go to the next pasuk. Says Umoshach Abidim BeKoychoi Yakum V'Lo Yamin BeChayin. What does this pasuk mean? Mitzudah says that this is a continuation. This the theme of the Mitzudah is consistent. All these sukkim are. He complains that it's not fair. The wicked people, they die in a moment. They don't have to suffer like everyone else. Moshach means Hashem pulls Abirim. Abirim means the mighty limbs or the mighty people. The people die in a state of might. A tzaddik, when his time comes to die, he slowly becomes weak. So the moment of death, he's not an Abir. He's not a Gibor. He's not a strong person. He's a weakling. He's a Cholosh. Because he suffered. That the last period of his life was a period of suffering. But the wicked don't have to go through that period of suffering. They die in a snap, in a moment's notice. And Eve complains, that's not fair. Why should the wicked be spared the suffering that every human being goes through at the end of his life? Umoshach, Hashem pulls into the grave. That's how we have to add many words into the pasuk of the Mesudos. Abirim, the mighty, the wicked people who are in a state of health, bikoichoi, when, according to them, when they are in their state of strength. Yakum, they rise up, v'loyamin b'chayin, they don't believe that they in their life. Now, what does that mean? Let's see the mitzvah. It's very complicated. Pasuk Chav Beis in the mitzvah. Moshach. Avolokein haya. It's not so. This is a continuation of the last words of the previous pasuk. The wicked deserve to suffer, but it doesn't happen. They don't suffer. Ki hamokom moshach es kolecha min habirim ohem. El hakever. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls. Hashem drags each one of these abirim, these mighty people, into the grave. El hakever, ba'odo b'koychoi, when they are in their strength. Kilei nechlash b'michlef hacholi, they do not have to suffer illness. So the koychoi and abirim go together. These mighty people, when they are still in their prime, they are still robust, they are still healthy, they are pulled into the grave in a moment's notice. Meaning, they avoid the entire tkufa of illness that the average person experiences at the end of their life. That, Eif says, is not fair. It's not fair that these people, after a life of wickedness, of riches, should not even have to suffer in death. That is just not fair. Yakum, what do these words mean? Yakum, next words. Odo kamal raglof. Same idea. While this wicked man is still standing vertical. Okay, most people, they die, they go from a state of being horizontal into the grave. They're lying on a deathbed for a long period of time. On the deathbed, on their bed, their hospital bed, or wherever they are, they've been horizontal for quite a long period of time, whether it's weeks, months, or years. And then they just go from the bed that's horizontal into the grave. But the wicked person, for 2 minutes before he was in the, goes into the grave, horizontal, he was vertical. What does that mean, vertical? It means that he was healthy. He was a gesunder person. He didn't have to suffer. It's not fair. Yakum, odo kom al raglov, bori v'chazok, upisoim. And suddenly, without any warning, karva nav shalomus. Add to the point, if you would ask the person 5 minutes ago, do you think that in 5 minutes from now you're going to be dead? He would say, impossible. Me? I'm the picture of health. It's not possible in 5 minutes from now. You tell the person, guess what? In 5 minutes from now, you're going to die. You're a time clock, a time bomb. 5 minutes. What are you talking about? I feel great. I feel healthy. He wouldn't believe it would happen to him. Ad lo yamin ba'atzmo. He would never believe. She yeshur chai.
No, I think it means at the time of death.
I'm a goner. I'm sorry. I told you, is what Rav Schwab says. He has a different definition. He says that the other way around. He suddenly realized he's going to die to the point where he realized he's going to die. The theme of the Mitzudos, he does not have to suffer. He does not have to suffer the illness. So the pasuk then reads, we read the pasuk one more time. Moshach Hakadosh Baruch Hu is the one who's pulling. Who's Moshach? Hashem. He is the subject of the pasuk. Hashem is pulling. Where is Hashem pulling? What is the destination? Hashem is pulling into the grave. Who is Hashem pulling? Hashem is pulling the Rasha. And the Rasha here is described as being the Abirim, the Rishaim. Okay, the Rishaim, the multiple Rishaim, who are B'koichoi, who are in a state of strength. This transition from life to death happens suddenly. They go from a state of Yokum, when they're healthy, to a state where Lo Yamin B'chayin, where they recognize they don't believe in their life. They know that in one moment they're going to die. They go from these two stages in a moment, which is a very great blessing. And Eov is complaining that it's not fair that the Rishon should be deserving that they do not have to suffer when they die, when their time comes. Now Rashi has a whole different interpretation. Umoshach HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's the same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the subject of this pasuk. HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls Osam Abirim, those mighty people. Who are they? Those are the wicked people. Bikoichoi. Now here Rashi is learning not like them. Says Koichoi means Hashem and Hashem's Koyach. Koichoi, again, according to the Mitzudos, the Koichoi means that they die in a state of health when they are in their prime. Rashi appears to learn Koichoi means HaKadosh Baruch Hu pulls in Hashem's might. Lepuranos. Peronis means for destruction. That over here, according to Rashi, the day of reckoning will one day come. Although it's true that now that tzaddikim, they are successful, ultimately they will suffer. Hashem will take the wicked people to their punishment. Leperanus. But now here, I don't know really, it's very hard to understand what Rashi means. But in the meantime, until this event occurs, ulemichya, mitoich archa, but in the meantime, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains them. They are in a state of life, mitoich archa, within a prolonged period of goodness, sheherich lohem, which Hashem has extended for them. It's a very bizarre. Okay, so
the fact that he's even Rashi is saying Hashem's doing this, so that's.
Yeah, I don't know. I honestly don't know. The Rashis are extremely difficult. I'm not the only one to say this. Okay, me means nothing. But the portion that I've seen, a lot of them acknowledge that there's a lot more going on in Rashi than we know. Either this Rashi has not been edited or it's been lost. There was some manuscript and it was destroyed and we have just bits and pieces because the little bits and pieces of a lot of these Rashis, sometimes, okay, we have a whole sentence, but other times the Rashi like this. What's going on? Hashem drags the Abirim, the Koichel, the Peranus, but then it goes on to say, but But Hashem gives them sustenance mitoch archa in a state of longevity. Sheherich lohem yakum yom Hashem. The day of Hashem will come when Hashem yakum means Hashem. Yom echad. Hashem will rise up one day. Hashem one day will rise up. V'lo yamin b'chayim kmo b'chayim. Will now rely instead of the nun we have a mem b'chayim. B'yom hazeh nivku. He gives an example. Nivku kol ma'inoy satohayim. All of the what is that? What is Rashi coming to say? I don't know what Rashi is coming to say. It's not clear. The day will come. And Hashem lo yamin b'chayim, the day will come when this man, this Russia, will not believe in his own life. The day will come when this Russia will be destroyed, seemingly. Hashem will drag the Abirim in Hashem's might into their destruction. Hashem will rise up, and Hashem will destroy the Russia, and the Russia will acknowledge that his days are numbered, he will not have faith in his life. Hashem will destroy the world. Something along those lines. Okay, Rav Schwab, he says, try to remember, Moshach Abirim, the koichoy, yoko. I don't know. Let's go further. Okay, let's go further. Pasuk chav gimel. Yitem loy levetach v'yishoein v'yenehu al darchehem. According to the Mesudos, there's a theme. It's all a complaint that the rishoyim prosper. They succeed to such a degree where it's almost as if a Kadosh Baruch Hu. There is Hashgacha Pratis. The Hashgacha Pratis is to make sure that the Rishoyim are successful. That's what it appears from Eve's perspective. Yitin lo levetach. Hashem grants the wicked security. They have no daigus. Tzadikim, they walk around, they're worried, what's going to be? I don't have parnasa. How am I going to feed my children? How am I going to marry off my children? How am I going to survive the next day? The Rishayim, who have done the worst possible sins, committed the worst possible crimes, they live in a state of security. Hashem has granted to the Rasha lovetach, the Yishayin, and the wicked person has support. He feels that he is being supported by some higher authority. The Einehu, it's as if the eyes of Hashem, the eyes of Hashem are looking upon them to make sure, al darchehem, on their ways, to make sure that they succeed and do not fall. Let's look at Pasuk Gimel in the Mitzudos. Pasuk Gimel, Yitin lo levetach, v'chol yimei chayev, Yitin lo yamakam, all the days of the wicked's life, Yitin lo yamakam lo sheves petach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu guarantees that they live in a state of security, v'hu nisham imenu, l'bal yimot, and they rely upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu not to fall. What does that mean? Uchi'ilu yashkiach be'enav, it's as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is washing with his eyes, al darkei horishoyim ahem, lebal yikoshlu, they should not fall, they should not stumble, ke'odim hamestakel b'darkei ahiv, like a person who looks after someone who he loves, umizarzo lihizoher, and he encourages him, he always is encouraging him that he should be careful not to stumble, that he should succeed. Okay, so here it seems to be saying this interesting idea that it's as if this Hashgacha Pratis, Kadosh Baruch Hu is protecting the Hashem, is protecting the Rasha. Hirashi, Yitin Lei Levetach, Ad Yom, Hashem grants a Rasha success, but not forever. Until Ad Yom Eidon, until the day of their destruction, but until that point in time, V'nishanu, they are relying upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, next pas, Pasuk Chof Dalet. Romu Me'at Ve'einenu, Hashem, lift them up just a little, and then they should disappear. The humichu, humichu means to be lowered or to be destroyed. The Mitzudos Tzion translated shiftless. After you lift them up a little bit and they disappeared, then they should be completely lowered. Kakol yikoftsun, kakol they should continuously flicker, jump up and down, or means they should. I'm sorry. They should be completely. Yikoftsun will translate now to be cut down. Kakol means they should be completely cut down. Uchirosh, they should be destroyed. Shiboles yimol, yimol also means to be destroyed, like the top of a stalk of grain. A stalk of grain is brittle, and when You move your fingers over the top of the stalk of grain, it crumbles, it turns into nothing. Now, what does this mean exactly? So let's see the mitzvah. So there's a long elaboration on this. Pasuk of Dal, Roy moved mat koiner. Every time the mitzvah says the word koiner, he means that it's not to be taken literally. You have to add in the pasuk a long, elaborate interpretation. Koiner. Im amnam shekin roy hu sheyirumu. Eve now is suggesting maybe Hashem, you're right. Maybe Hashem, you have a plan. There's a divine plan. You're giving the Rishon success in order to reward them in this world for all of the good they have done, so that they can be destroyed. Right? Isn't that the way we live? We believe that when you see a Rasha prosper, succeed, it's because Hashem is rewarding him now in this world, so that later he'll have nothing. Eve says, if that's really true, then the success should not last very long. It should last for a couple of days, for a couple of months, a couple of years. But that a Rasha should succeed his entire life, that already doesn't make sense. Eve is coming around to believe there is Hashkacha Pratis. Hashem is paying off the Rishayim in this world for their good deeds. But it can't be that they deserve to be paid off their entire life, from beginning to end, with no punishment whatsoever. So one more time. Okay, even a little thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not deny reward for any living creature. Let's see. Koimer, what he means says as follows. If it's really true, Shekein Roy Hu Shirum, if it's really true, that the Rasha is deserving to be elevated, the Malu, the covered with stature and with honor, Laman, in order, why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu reward a Rasha in this world and more? Laman, Yichbal Tzaram, in order that ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu will punish them, will double their pain, Kasher Yiblu B'Sheifel HaMa'at, Kasha Yiblu B'Sheifel HaMatziv, when ultimately the time will come and they will fall to the lowest level. Avol, here is my complaint, Eve says. If this really is true, Roy Hoya Sheyarumu Rak Me'at. If you want to reward the wicked for their good deeds in this world, you only have to reward them a little bit. Just give them 1 year. Don't give them 2 years. Give them a nice car, a nice house. But everything, you give them everything they can possibly want. Rak ma'at min hazman. Then, after they have their day in the sun, the yelech loy hakavod, the honor should go away, v'einenu, and it should cease. Umiyad yoshuvu liya shefalim, they should be returned to what they really deserve, to be low lives, the nivzim, and disgraced. The kol kach pamim rabos, and this should happen many times. So that's what it means over here in the pasuk. Kakol, kakol means yikovtsun. Uchmo kol dovar, like, and here is where he explains those very difficult words. Kakol yikovtsun. Uchmo. Let me find the place over here. Anything which skips the yikpats and jumps, shepam hu lamala ba'avir, sometimes it's in the air, upam lamata ba'aretz, but umeat zman yisakev lamala. When you throw something up in the air, how long does it last in the air? Only for a very short period of time, because the laws of gravity demand that the object come down. How much time does it spend on the ground? A lot longer than the amount of time it spends in the air. So when you throw something up in the air, it's good, it's in the air, it's high up. But ultimately what happens? The laws of gravity take that object, bring it back down to the ground. And when it comes to rest, how long does it rest for? It rests forever, for a very long period of time. So Eve here is saying that the laws of gravity, the laws of physics, should apply equally to wicked people. Wicked people are no different than physical objects in this world. HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at a wicked person and says, ah, you Rasha, you wicked person, oh, you're going to suffer. But listen, before you die, I have to reward you for the few good deeds. When you were a child, you did a good deed. When you were a teenager, you did a good deed. So let me reward you. How does Hashem reward a Rasha? He takes the Rasha and he throws them up. Throwing up the Rasha, it means Hashem is putting him in the limelight. He's giving him reward. He's giving him wealth. He's giving him success. But the laws of gravity demand, after you're up in the air for a short period of time, you come crashing down. But yet, they defy the laws of physics. They defy the laws of gravity. Hashem throws the rush up, and they stay up, and they don't come down. How could that be? It cannot be that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to show reward to a rush, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives them, throws them a bone, and throws them up, but it can't be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows them to stay up. It has to be they come down, because by nature, a Rasha is a low person. They need to come down. So this is what it says. And even if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do this multiple times, let's say HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reward a Rasha many times in his life. He did this mitzvah, did that mitzvah. So Hashem will throw him up. Today he'll throw him up. Tomorrow he'll throw him up. The next day he'll throw him up. But after every time HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws up the Rasha to give him reward, then by nature, by the laws of physics, demand that the Rasha comes crashing back down. He should come down to his state of lowliness to get what he deserves for his sins in this world. But yet it doesn't happen. The Rasha is thrown up and it remains up forever and ever. And that's what Eve is complaining about. So, anything which jumps, the yikapets, it only remains up in the air for a short period of time. The and more time than is up is the object remaining down on the ground. Next words. And when this time comes, a Russia deserves to suffer. Zman Rav. A lot, kimo, just like kona hashiboles, a stalk of grain, hanifrach me'elav ma'at ma'at. It's brittle, and it decays, and naturally it just splinters, it comes and turns into little teeny pieces. Leharshiam ma'at ma'at, ad ki nifrach, hakol, until there's nothing left. Kein hoya roy, so is it deserving leharich zman cholyoy, that a rasha should suffer pain in this world, ad ki almost mimen, until he dies from his suffering, period. These last words of the pasuk go back to the beginning of the parak. We're now winding down this parak. What did it say? What were the beginning words of the parak? Why do you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hide yourself from the good times of the Rasha? Al reish amarav loymar, kein hoya roy leharisham ha'ele, ulam, however, hasmodas hashal v'hakalos hamisa, but we find that the hasmodas means the continuous peace, tranquility, and the swift death, b'mehem, mitzad merechas hashemam, comes to them from the mazel, asher shaftu kein be'eis ha'harayon, which was given to them at the time of their birth, the haleda. Umadua, here are the first words of this perek. Umadua mishakai lo nitzbenu ho'itim. Why, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, was it not hidden? Why HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why was it why it should have been hidden these times? What do we mean? Lomo lo yivatel hor osam. You should have cut off the shine, the good fortune. Harasam means the shine, asher yoru bo'itim, which was set their way at that time when they were born, b'chdei sheyekablu gemulam mishalem, so that they should receive their just punishment. Eve is saying, at the time that these wicked people were born, they were born under a good constellation, which granted them success their entire life. Eve says, why, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, did you hide yourself from that? You should have revealed yourself and taken the mazel, the good mazel that was given to the wicked people, and destroyed it and removed it in order that the Rishon should suffer, should pay the price for their averos. Okay, it's a very difficult pasuk. Now let's just go back to the pasuk. We'll read it one more time inside. Try to get the basic gist. Pasuk of Dalet, he says here, is Romu Ma'at V'einenu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should lift them up only a little bit. If it's true that the wicked deserve to be rewarded in this world for their good deeds, so elevate them ne'at, just a little bit. And after you've done that, ve'einenu, they should cease to exist. They should naturally fall back into the ground where they belong and suffer. V'humichu, and they should be obliterated. They should be lowered. Kakol yikoftsun. Now kakol means, yikoftsun, we're going to translate, means to jump. This process can repeat itself many, many times. You can give them reward for a short period of time, and then they'll fall back and suffer. It can fall many times, but Eve here is complaining that's not the case. It appears that you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, are allowing them to remain in an exalted state of existence for a, not a ma'at, for a short period of time, but for a prolonged period of time. And there is no jumping of going up and down. It remains, it sustained their success. What they really deserve is, Ucheros Shibolas Himolu, they deserve that they Shimolu means to be cut off like a brittle stalk. That's what they truly deserve. Okay, let's do Rashi, we'll stop. Rashi, Pasuk of Dalet. Roimu ma'at. Nistalku min olam kimad rega. Natali, a much simpler interpretation. Roimu ma'at means they should cease to exist. Ma'at means in a moment. Ma'at means, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should pluck them out of this world in a moment. V'humku nidchohu v'nis mas. Vinis maskinu. They should melt. They should be crushed and they should melt away. Ka kol yikovtsun. Ka asher kol hanikpotsim vinimlotim be'es kotsir. Just like all of the things which escape in the winter, in the harvest. Be'es kotsir ubotsir masik. Shenikpotsim yachad. Which are cut, which means to be harvested. Yikvatsim means to be cut. Like in the harvest, when you go and you harvest grain, kotsir means grain, butsir means grapes, masik means the olives. When these things are harvested, you harvest a lot in one shot. You don't just pluck one stalk of grain. You take a sickle and you cut a large amount. Kein tamu kirega, so to all of these wicked people should be cut off. Kakol yikovsun, just like when you harvest, you cut everything out in one shot, all of the rishonim should be cut out in one shot, and yimalu, they should wither away very quickly. Something along those lines. All right, we'll stop here. So we'll do now some drush for Shavuos. A few short ideas.
It was in Kew Gardens. Is it Park? Forest,
yeah.
Park? There's a statue. There's a sculpture of Eov. This is a profile. Okay. His arms are clasping each other and he's looking up to, you have to get the right angle. Sorry.
That's
his face.
Yeah.
Looking up to the sky. That's his nose. That's his mouth, right?
Wow.
It's a sculpture of Job? That's Rabbi Lau. That's another. Yeah, this is, it's made by a famous sculpture. Mr. Rappaport. This is in Forest Park, Kew Gardens. And the other copy of it is in Yad Vashem.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
Where in Kew Gardens?
Forest Park.
Who was the sculpture?
I don't know. Maybe it's called a Mr. Rappaport.
Rappaport did it?
Okay, let's